That is such a powerful song. And something I hope we all sing from the heart and can sing from the heart because of our commitment to our Lord and that we have given our life over in obedient service to Him. If you're our guest this morning, we're so grateful you've come. Your spiritual interest in wanting to be here on the Lord's Day to worship God. And I hope you give us a chance to meet you and to get to know you this morning as we serve God together. As evidenced again, a major lightning strike this week has caused several problems for us. We've had electricians, air conditioning men, and others over here this week helping us repair things, but still problems with equipment we've lost in the AV room we haven't been able to replace yet. And so we will, just as you've already seen me on the main screen, our monitors will not be working, and there are other problems. The other monitor that's out is this one right here, which means I can't see what's up here. So if you see me doing this, all I'm doing is checking to make sure my charts are showing this morning, and hopefully we'll get equipment in this week to replace what we have. Let me begin by showing you a quote. You must have a spiritual practice. What is yours? Well, for some people, it's going to church, if that's what they, where they nurture themselves. I believe that creativity, artful expression, prayer, conscious kindness, empathy, consistent compassion, gratitude, all are spiritual practices in the way of becoming more of who you are. Well, it sounds wonderful. It really does. And as you see, the person who said this is someone familiar to all of us, I think, Oprah Winfrey, who has perhaps one of the largest followings of any woman in this country or in the world. She has her own TV network. She has so many other things that enable her to express her views on life and what she considers to be spirituality. I think what Oprah says expresses the mind so many today when we talk about spirituality, that it is a concept that it's talked about, I think, more today than just about any time in my life that I've ever talked about. And over the past few months, I've presented some lessons that have tried to emphasize the biblical concept of true spirituality. And I think this is important. We take spirituality for granted, really without considering the underlying reasons for true spirituality and how it is established. And I think that's why so many people today, not just among Lord's people, but in the world in general, the religious world in general, go astray in considering the concept of spirituality and what true spirituality is. We, in talking about spirituality, have seen that spirituality is not something defined by what we feel or what we do. That's basically what Oprah Winfrey is doing in that quotation. She's defining for herself what she's going to consider spirituality and how she's going to manifest spirituality in her life. So many people do it that way. They want to consider spirituality to be something where they get off to themselves to meditate and to look in themselves, to connect with their inner self, and to free themselves by this kind of personal and looking within themselves, connecting with themselves, and then seeing the world, they think, in a different way, and then expressing their spirituality. Spirituality is defined by what we do. And we need to know what it is that we are to do if we're going to be a true spiritual people. And that's really what today's lesson is about. It's about sowing spiritual things. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11, if we sow spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? In Romans 8 and verse 5, he wrote, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. He talks about the mindset of those who sow spiritual things. We want to talk about this concept of spiritual things and how we learn them and how they are taught. That's what I want us to see. The concept that Oprah expresses really in many ways conflicts with the biblical concept of spirituality, though many of the things she talks about practicing are things that a Christian would practice. The question here is not whether those are good things. The question is, where is the authority for establishing what are good things? Oprah's basis of authority for what she does is Oprah, and she decides for herself. That is not the biblical concept. The biblical concept is not that everybody gets to establish what they consider feeling spiritual or spiritual practices. This is what I want us to see from Scripture. There is a concept of sowing spiritual things, of there being spiritual deeds that we do. So let's begin with talking about the things of the Spirit, or the things of God as we find them talked about in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, the apostle wrote, "For who among men knows the things of a man, save the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God none knows, save the spirit of God." Spiritual things are not what we think are spiritual, or what we may, what makes us feel spiritual. The things of God are the things that are defined as spiritual in Scripture. Sowing spiritual things then must relate to sowing those things found in the Spirit-revealed truth. Paul specifically says that we should sow to the Spirit. A familiar passage in Galatians 6 and verse 7 where he says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows unto his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life." This sowing to the Spirit, it is to me, it's a captivating phrase in many ways. It sums up in many ways all that we are as Christians and all that we do. The phrase is not describing some ethereal experience beyond explanation. And sowing to the Spirit, he's not talking about what is seen in a meditating Buddhist monk sitting on a mountain somewhere, or a cloistered Catholic priest who's taken a vow of silence living in a monastery. It is not a Christian who just feels his Christianity more than everyone else. This is a description of a Christian at work, serving his Lord, and sowing the things of the Spirit in the actual world in which he lives daily. And it does begin with this teaching of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want us to look at this passage. There are two primary passages or texts we're going to look at today that helps us to understand these fundamentals about the things of the Spirit. So how can we know the things of the Spirit? In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, as he talks about the things of the Spirit, he here then is going to emphasize to us the concept of those things that come from God. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, he says, "For who among men knows the things of the Spirit except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." The Holy Spirit knows the things of God. That's what he's emphasizing. I want us to look at 1 Corinthians 2 with a little different emphasis from the way we usually look at it. We're usually looking at this passage to emphasize the mechanics of divine revelation, of how divine verbal inspiration through the apostles took place and the Spirit's work in that. But we should also see what Paul says is being revealed. This is really his emphasis. And the emphasis here is upon the things the Spirit teaches. Look in verse 12. Let's begin to read in verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual things with spiritual words. Now a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one." Here he's emphasizing to us that that which is revealed is the Spirit-taught word. That the source of this is the Spirit of God. But it is the teaching of God, it is the mind of God that is being revealed in these things. These things are rooted then in spiritual truth for those, as he says in verse 13, who are spiritual. Such things, he says, are rejected by the natural or the unspiritual or carnal person. A person who cannot understand them because of his mindset. And those who reject these things are actually unspiritual people, as he describes them. Verse 14. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. They are rejecting the true source of the things of the Spirit. They are, in fact, foolishness to him. He does not hear, nor does he do the things the Spirit teaches. He has a different authority. Then he says in verse 15, but he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. The idea of appraising or judging here is that the spiritual person is able to judge or to discern all things. Because then we can understand the things of the Spirit as they are revealed, we are now able to discern, to look at the world and to understand it and to make those decisions about what is truly right and wrong, about what is spiritual and what is unspiritual, because we have been listening to the teaching of the Spirit. The result is then knowing and teaching and practicing spiritual things. We cannot know what is spiritual without the Spirit-revealed Word. So you want to sow spiritual things? We'll find out what they are by delving deeply into the mind of Christ. We learn it because the Spirit has revealed the mind of the Lord and has revealed it to us. The sowing spiritual things begins with sowing the Word of God in our hearts. It does not begin with our own inner being being felt and expressing to us what is good and right. No, it is taking the Word of God into our hearts and into our minds and learning from that what is spiritual and putting that into practice in our life. Sowing spiritual things certainly involves minding the things of the Spirit. The second passage I want us to look at is Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 is drawing a contrast between minding the things of the flesh and minding the things of the Spirit. And this further defines the things of the Spirit. And it also explains what leads to sowing spiritual things. He says it involves the law being fulfilled in us because we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 4. So this walking accords with the Spirit because we have developed a certain mindset toward the things of the Spirit. The mindset behind walking according to the Spirit is a mindset toward the truth and the value of the things of the Spirit. He says, for those who are, and we might say, and walk according to the flesh, set their minds on, that is, they have a mindset to love the things of the flesh. But those who are and walk according to the Spirit, set their minds on or have the mindset to cherish the things of the Spirit. Two mindsets being described. So our walk is owing to the set or disposition of our minds. Minds that are trained by the teachings of the Spirit. Minds which have looked into the mind of God through the Spirit-revealed Word, that we might know what is spiritual. The reason that the mindset of the Spirit produces a work that, or a life that fulfills the law, and the reason the mindset of the flesh does not, is that the mindset of the flesh, he says, is death. And the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. That's what he says in verse 6. Now remember from verse 2, he said, it is the law of the Spirit of life that has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. The law, the teaching that is from God. It is the Spirit that effectively shapes our mind and shapes our walk. He imparts spiritual life. How? Well, the Spirit-revealed Word does speak laws or rules that tell us how to do that. But he also brings the law, he says, and writes it on our hearts and creates the life that loves the law and delights in God and treasures Jesus. That is the influence of the Spirit upon us. Now, how is that accomplished? Well, I believe the way we can know that it's accomplished is not in some unexplainable way, but by his miraculous work in the New Testament and in the power of the gospel that he has revealed. You know, all the Bible is not laws. It is biography. It's history. It's Spirit-inspired poetry. It's predictive prophecy. All things that move us and inspire us and fill us with awe and belief and love and a desire to cherish the things of the Spirit and to follow the Spirit's teaching. Therefore, the mindset of the Spirit produces a spiritual walk that fulfills the law, because that spiritual disposition of mind is the fruit, and you might say the form, of the life of God's Spirit working in us. So, sowing spiritual things, it means there is a soul that is saved by grace, whose life is transformed by the Spirit's work in conjunction with the work of the Father and the Son, which has been communicated to him by God's powerful word. He is now diligent in minding the things of the Spirit and sowing things of the Spirit in his own life and in the lives of all those around him, because he knows the mind of the Spirit that has been revealed. It is God that has defined the things of the Spirit, those things which the Spirit tells us are of him. So if we are of the Spirit and we want to mind the things of the Spirit, how do we do that? Well, I think we often make this too complex. Again, today's spiritual gurus and their take on sowing spiritual things involves basically that concept that Oprah expressed. Quotation I think I used in another sermon by Deepak Chopra, who many of you may be familiar with. He's on PBS about twice a week explaining his own spirituality. But he said, instead of trying to rely on the limited resources of the ego mind, you let yourself be guided by your true self, which is the source of all peace and clarity and wisdom. And with clearer vision, you no longer feel confused and conflicted. Guided by your true self. I tell you, I've known some people who I think, I would hope they would not be guided by their true self. But that's the concept. All this sounds wonderful. It's beautiful, flowery words. But when you break it down and see what they're saying, there's no true foundation for what they're saying is spiritual or what a spiritual life is about. The biblical take for those who are minding the things of the Spirit, I think, is expressed in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual or reasonable service. And do not be fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How is our mind renewed? It is renewed by the things of the Spirit, learning the revealed Spirit work, Spirit-revealed Word, taking that into our hearts and minds, and being transformed by that powerful Word and its teachings to become living sacrifices unto God. Then we can sow spiritual deeds and be a true spiritual person. All spiritual deeds are authorized by the Spirit-revealed Word. I emphasize that again. And really, this is what distinguishes the Lord's church from these other concepts of spirituality and distinguishes the Lord's church from all the other churches today. For them, spiritual things are what they decide is spiritual and what the Lord's church should be involved in. They organize the church the way they want. They call it whatever they want. They have it doing whatever works they define as spiritual works. And the result is churches running schools, hospitals, becoming political action committees, having become a social services organization rather than a spiritual organization as defined by Scripture, doing spiritual work. If we're going to sow things, sow spiritual things as a local church, they must be the things authorized for the local church to do in the Spirit-revealed Word. A local church is a Spirit-filled church when it is doing what is revealed in the Spirit-revealed Word. That's what makes it spiritual. Now, there are church actions described in Scripture that are the spiritual things in which a local church engages. And we could look at many of those. But Paul, for example, in Romans 15 and verse 27, when he's talking about a collection being made to help those needy brethren in Jerusalem, he says, "For they were pleased to do it." Verse 27, Romans 15. "For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings," that is the spiritual blessings in Christ, "they ought also to be of service to them," to the Jews, "in material blessings." Here he's talking about this sharing materially to help brethren. That means that as we look at this, we can see what a local church can support financially as an example. In 2 Corinthians 8, verses 2 through 4, Paul refers to the Macedonian church and their commitment to help needy brethren. He describes them in verse 2, saying, "For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints." Here we see them then giving, laying by in store to help Christians who were in need. That's what we're authorized to do from a benevolent standpoint as a local group. The treasury of the local church is used to support those things for which the Spirit-revealed Word says that money can be used for. If the local church cannot point to authority for what it does as a local congregation, it does not matter what the work is. It is not Spirit-approved work and is not acceptable to God. Now, there are works that a Christian does in his everyday life, and some of that authority is different from a local church. The local church is a unique local group of Christians that has a unique responsibility to one another and to the world. Christians can relate to the world in a different way. The works that a Christian does in his everyday life are not local church action. But there are also spiritual works that they engage in because God says they are spiritual works. If he does not so define it, then it is not spiritual in God's eyes. Galatians 6. "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Here he talks about a personal responsibility we have, a spiritual responsibility that he lays upon us as Christians, to reach out to brothers who transgress, who are turning away from God, who are in sin. You reach out to them, and that's a personal responsibility we have. And he says, we have this personal responsibility to bear one another's burdens, to fulfill what? The law of Christ. How does it fulfill the law of Christ? The law of Christ told us that's what we're supposed to do. He goes on in verse 6. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For one who sows to his own flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and specifically to those of the household of faith. As you go through Galatians 6, and actually I wrote an article about this for The Voice 2 or 3 weeks ago. As you go through Galatians 6, you see him just listing one thing after another that is a responsibility that we have to brethren in Christ and to ourselves. Things we know that God wants us to do, and therefore are spiritual things because God says they are. And that's what this context is all about. Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 8, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, that's where we get the peace. We get it by doing the things of the Spirit as they are revealed. Sowing the word in our hearts truly does transform our lives. It is what makes us spiritual. It's what means we are led by the Spirit. That's the effect upon us. It changes our lives. It motivates us to do the things God has revealed that we should do. And from that, we get peace and contentment in our life. This is true spirituality. There's joy to be found in Christ. There is contentment to be found in Christ. There is peace to be found in Christ. But these things are the result of being spiritual, not the definition of spirituality. I really think true spirituality is not hard to understand. It's simple. It's just like New Testament Christianity is simple. There's simplicity in its work, simplicity in the organization of the church and how it's designed. Its worship is simple. And it's that way so that all can participate, that all can give of themselves to God in these simple works, in their worship together. It's meant to be simple so that all can participate. The things of the Spirit are not difficult. The problem is not giving our lives and our authority over to the Spirit-revealed Word. That's what we must do, that we might be spiritual people. So, you want to sow spiritual things? Start reading your Bible. Learn the example of Jesus. Read of the spiritual deeds taught in Scripture. And be one who may be called upon when the need is for someone, as Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 1, you who are spiritual. Spiritual because it is evidenced by your mindset, your commitment, and your way of life, and you're submitting yourself fully and completely to the authority of God in Christ in every aspect of your life. We need to be spiritual people. But that spiritual reality is evidenced in what we do to the world. James said that's how faith is expressed in James chapter 2. You can't know you have faith if they can't see your actions. Let's be spiritual people by letting the world see who we are and what we do. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are humbled to be before you as the great God of all, as the creator of this universe. whose heart is also of one who loves and is compassionate and who cares about his people. We're so thankful you favor us as your people. And we pray, Father, that we might return that love by listening to every word you have revealed, by honoring it above every other word, honoring your authority above our own thoughts and ideas, and manifesting in our life our commitment to you, the heart of grace and love that you show, and to be all that you want us to be. Help us to be a spiritual people. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen. Let's take out our songbooks. Gave up on the charts in case you noticed. Too hard to turn around. God's Spirit-revealed word calls out to all of us through the gospel. As he says in 2 Thessalonians 2:14. And in that, we listen to the good news of Christ, want to respond to him, just as they did on the day of Pentecost, that when they heard the gospel and were convicted of the sin in their hearts and asked what to do, Peter said, repent. Each one of you be baptized into the name of Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Will you listen to the Spirit-revealed word? Will you listen to your God who made you? Will you become his child and fully submit unto him? We can help you in any way spiritually. We ask that you come while we stand and sing and encourage you to come.